If you are looking at traveling out of the country into, let's say, third world countries or areas where the hotel prices are really low, they have some really good incentive. I've been able to book hotel rooms for and earn 30x, sometimes even 40x. And I've been able to earn gold status, just earning 40,000 points, sometimes for as little as less than $600-$700. It's possible to get to executive platinum for, and let's just say, you can get there for as little and starting as $3,000. Same day change, what that allows you to do is make a change within 24 hours. I'm going to give you guys a secret of folks who've been doing this for a long, long time. If you ever look when you're booking a ticket, let's say you know you have same day change. Let's say you know you have same day change and you really don't care what time you fly. And it doesn't matter where I sit. I don't mind as long as I get a good, decent seat. Okay. If you're like that person, this is something you can do with your status. You could take a look at this other flights and say, hey, sometimes there's a big disparity between the first flight of the first flight out versus the third or fourth flight out. Like sometimes you may see a $250 ticket and you may see a $500 ticket for basically the same destination, but just leaving several hours later. So here's what some people do. They will choose the lowest cost ticket so they can lock that in. And then when they're at that 24-hour mark of the flight and they're ready to check in, they can make a same day change and they can either get a confirmed ticket on another flight for free. And it could even be the flight that they wanted to take, but it was too expensive. So they'll make a change at the 24-hour mark for that. And they'll save themselves right there $200-$300 just by doing that.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Ben Commoncool from Ben's Big Deal. Ben is the founder of Ben's Big Deal and has over 15 years of travel loyalty experience. He has spoken at many well-known travel events, such as Frequent Traveler University and Chicago Seminars. Ben's Big Deal educates followers at all levels of travel on airline and hotel loyalty programs. In this episode, expect to hear about why American Airlines status may be right for you, tips for getting American Airlines status, even if you don't fly that much, some of the best first-class lounges in the world, and so much more. One of the tips that we discussed in today's episode is how to earn 10 or 20 or more points per dollar by using hotel portals. If you want to shop on hotel portals, make sure you use a credit card like the Chase Sapphire Preferred, which earns bonus spend on travel purchases. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Chase Sapphire Preferred card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Chase Sapphire Preferred card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Ben, welcome back to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me again.
I am so excited to have you back and to talk about today's topic. So last time when we had you on, we talked about Thailand and different hotels there. And today we're going to talk about something completely different. We're going to talk about American Airlines and why is their status worth getting? Who is it worth it for? And how can people get AA status in 2024? But quick primer for everybody who hasn't listened to your first podcast episode, tell us a little bit about you and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. One of the things, I've been a business traveler now since 2009. It's something I've always wanted to do and find a career in travel. I got into the insurance side of the world and was a business traveler for over 10 years. Sometimes American Airlines gets I don't want to say they get a bad rap, but they have a reputation sometimes as probably not the best service airline out there in the marketplace. But if you are a regular business traveler, you will find that many business travelers usually will be American Airlines. And that's by virtue, I think, of a couple of things. Number one is that they have a lot of connecting cities that are major cities that you want to get to. So it's natural and it's less expensive. And the other thing, I think they have a really big, large network. And so I started my career flying as a free agent, actually. I was flying American when I had to go over from Los Angeles, where I'm based, to anywhere in the country. But if I was closer to home, I was a Southwest guy. And if I was trying to go up Northwest, I was flying Alaskan. And like a lot of people, when you first get started, you're kind of looking for the lowest cost cash ticket. And that's what I did for many, many years as a business traveler. But I realized where I decided to take a step back and go, should I stick to one airline? And one of the reasons that happened was because I was getting on board on planes like on American. I would pass by through the first class cabin into the regular seats where everybody else sits. And I would say, are these people crazy? Why are they paying for first class to go from LAX to Phoenix? Like, why would you do that? And little did I know was that many of those people were getting upgraded for free. And it made me have to kind of second guess going, I'm flying 50,000 miles a year, but I'm splitting it up between three airlines. I'm doing something that other people are not doing, which is having loyalty to one airline and being able to get that. And I think that's the thing. If you're going to be flying regularly, you should consider doing that. And if you are nowadays in 2024 looking at getting status, American doesn't care if you fly as much as not, as long as you spend money with them or their partners now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So for everybody who gets upgraded to those seats and for people who are aspiring to get those types of upgrades, when is it worth it to get American Airlines status? Because we often tell people don't chase status, but is there a case where here it is worth it and here it's not?
I'll make a case first of this. Before you even go down the road of saying, I want to have elite status, my first question many people when they come to class with me is, what is your travel style? Are you a family traveler? Are you a business traveler? Are you a solo traveler? And it could mean different things for different people. Like, let's say if you're a solo traveler and you're flying always on points and miles, and you're always flying bougie in the front of the plane, you may not need it because you're already getting it. If you're booking a business class ticket, you already get priority check-in. You already get free bags. You already get lounge access. So a lot of the perks that you get as elite, maybe not so important for those type of people. But if you're a business traveler and you're paying cash tickets for economy and you want to get an upgrade regularly and you want to be able to do that, it may make sense for you to chase status. And here's one that a lot of people don't think about. They said, well, if I'm a family traveler, what is elite status for one person going to help the family? This is where I really feel, and one of the reasons why I've kind of dived into it for a while, is because when I first got started, I was seeing myself every single time I got American Airlines. Unlike Southwest, American charges for bags, just like a lot of the other airlines now. And I first, before I even got status, I said, maybe I should go get one of the American Airlines credit card, because that helped me so much. Because having that credit card meant every single time I flew with a bag, and I'm team check-in bag, I need to have this, I need to have that, or I'm carrying materials with me to go see clients. So I always had to check a bag. And so from that, they would give me not only one bag, but the credit card, it's a $95 card, that would give me and four traveling companions a free bag as well. So if you're traveling with you and your family and each of them, I've tried to get my wife to do carry-on. She's like, I need my shoes, the blow dryer. She can't do it without it. So it's just like, every time we'll end up arguing when I get to our destination why she doesn't have something because I forced her to check to carry on. So I've just come to accept I'm going to be a check-in bag for a while, as long as we're married. And I said, you know what, we're going to check it back. But you know what, I get a free bag on the way and on the way back. So if I'm doing 40 and 40, a bag now, check bag is like $80 round trip. And if I multiply that with my daughter, my wife, now we're like, there's three of us, we're like 44, that's $120 each way. That's 240 round trip every time we fly. For a lot of people, they don't think they need a co-branded card, but if you're using American, it may make sense for you to get a free bag by getting a credit card, at least just even starting there.
What are some other perks where somebody might want to consider an American Airlines credit card versus using something else like a Chase card or an Amex card? And now nobody transfers over to American Airlines, but you can still sometimes book American Airlines flights, especially domestically through British Airways. How would you make that trade-off of it is worth getting an American Airlines card versus probably use your 524 spots for something else?
Here's the thing. I think the Blue Bank's 524 spot is a really important thing to be mindful of. But considering that AA is a non-transferable partner, like you just mentioned, and before at least you could say built, but now that's no longer even the case either. So they're back to that. But here's a little thing that I like to tell my students. I said, look, the easier it is to earn the points, the more competition there is for that. The harder it is to earn the points, like AA, the better the redemption is. And if it's really evident. You look at something like Emirates, for example, where everyone transfer Emirates. And then you look at the taxes and the costs. Just, I don't think you can get first class of Emirates for less than $130,000 nowadays. And so when you look at American, how you could be able to make a redemption for as little as 60,000 points to go to Japan from the US, I think that's an unbelievable value. So not only do you, when you get that card, do you get the free bag, but you also get 50, 60, 75,000, depending on what the offer is. You get enough points on one sign-up bonus to be able to fly business class from even to Japan or even Southeast Asia. So I think there's value in that. And one little known fact a lot of people don't realize is that if you have that credit card, American Airline miles, unlike Delta miles, don't expire. But American Airline miles expires, I have to say, pretty quickly. It's 18 months if you have no activity. And if you have that credit card, that keeps your miles alive without having to do any activity as long as you have the credit card.
Yeah, that is a great perk because people forget all the time that they have hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars worth of points sitting in their account, and then it's suddenly going to expire. And yeah, there's easy ways to keep it alive if you want to buy a pair of socks or something through the AA portal, but just having the credit card can sometimes just make it a lot easier so you don't have to allocate brain cells to that.
Yeah, there's enough. I already managing all my Amex credits, let alone I don't need another one to think about as well.
For sure. All right. So when is it worth it to go for the higher tiers of status? Because you don't get those automatically with just having a credit card. When do you think it's worth it to go for something like Executive Platinum or Platinum Pro? And what do you get with these higher statuses versus just the lower Amex Gold?
I'll start off with this. This is a good question. I'll start off with this. There is a difference between earning redeemable points and earning loyalty points. I think a lot of people get it confused. Can I redeem the loyalty points? You can't. So I explain it when you go onto the website, two measuring points. One is how many miles are you earning? That goes up and down depending if you're spending and you're redeeming. But loyalty points is strictly to earn elite status. And elite status will do things for you, give you a free bag, maybe two bags. You get higher, you get three bags. And when it comes to check-in, one of the worst things that we hate, I'm sure for many people, is arriving to the airport and having to get in line. You spend half your time in the airport waiting in line, whether it being checking your bag. So if you're elite status, you can get into the expedited elite line and it's a shorter line. So instead of waiting 30 minutes or 40 minutes to check your bag and potentially missing your flight, you can get into the short line, which is for the priority members. And that's huge, especially if you check bags like us. The other thing they do is that a lot of people know about TSA pre-check and the regular line. But many airports also have a priority line just for people who have elite status. So if you have elite status, you can get into the priority line. If you don't have TSA PreCheck, they may have an expedited one. They have literally like a third line at some airports. So that's another thing. And then if you are team carry-on, you may want to board early. And the reason why carry-on people want to board early is they want to have that overhead space and put it where they want to put it to. And so they'll let you do that as well. So those are really good perks. In fact, one of the best ones too, one of the best perks about being elite is that you can also choose a seat that is up closer to the front of the plane, what we call main cabin extra, for free. So if you're gold, you get to choose that at 24 hours before departure. But if you're platinum or above, and platinum above, you'd only need 75,000 points a year. If you earn 75,000 loyalty points a year, you can actually choose that at the time of booking. You don't have to wait when everyone else chooses their flight. So if you wanted to be a planner and book it out 6 months in advance, 4 months in advance, you can pretty much choose any seat you want, aisle, window, for free, which is awesome.
That is awesome. What are some of your other favorite perks? And what status level are you? And what status level do you want to try to maintain?
So when I got into American, I decided to kind of go all in. I gave up. So here's the thing, my decision process. I live in LA. And for some people, depending where you're listening from, you may be what they call hub captive. You know, Delta may be your primary airline in your airport. If you live in Salt Lake City or Detroit or Atlanta, American may not be for you because they don't fly out enough. And if you live in Houston or Denver, maybe United is going to be your hub. I would say that people who live in, you know, JFK and LAX are probably really fortunate because they may not be hub captive. A lot of airlines are still based there and they're competing for your business. So you have a choice. And if you have a choice to choose, I had a choice between Southwest. Alaska wasn't really going to be an option at the time. They were not a One World partner, although today that would be different if I thought about it today. But Alaska and American actually are partners. That's a nice perk as well today. And then American was because they flew international and they had an international airline network, which Southwest at the time did not for me. So I could have gone Southwest or and gone that direction, but I decided to go American because I wanted to fly internationally and be able to use those perks internationally as well. So that was important for me. So right away, I think I did a challenge. I first did a challenge, and I think I did a challenge in 3 months to fly a certain number amount. And today, American actually offers that same perk now. It's called Instant Status Pass. You can be able to get invited to, instead of doing all the miles you need to in a 12-month period, they say, can you do it in 4 months? Can you do a quarter, a third of it in 4 months? So basically, if you need to do 40,000 points, loyalty points, can you earn 12,000 points in the next 4 months? Because if you do, we'll give you gold status. So they actually allow you to do that now. It is a paid challenge, like it's $200 to get in the ball game. But I think it's awesome that they give you that option to do it for less miles. But I've been an executive platinum now since 2015. This is the first year I think I've dropped to platinum pro. I'm not flying as much as I used to, but I'm right below it. But I think that's actually the sweet spot for many people because that's still One World Emerald, which gets you into first class lounges still.
What's your favorite first class lounge that you've ever been in?
I haven't been to the Al Safwa in Qatar, but I hear that's the best. But the best lounge I personally say and I've been there many times, is probably the Cathay Pacific Lounge. I know you just recently did that, and I would agree with you. I think the wing is fantastic because of the cabanas, and then the pier is great because of their massages. So they actually have 4 lounges at the Hong Kong airport, and they all call them a different name. It's either the bridge, the wing, the pier, and one of them has a cabana where you literally can check in and have a place to relax, a shower, a tub, TV, a sofa. Like, you get your own room and you can be there for, they tell you 2-3 hours, but they're pretty loose with it. And then you come out and you go have a sit down dining experience. It's a little bit more crowded than the pier. So a lot of people like to go to the pier because it feels more exclusive because it's all the way at the end of the airport. So I think the cafes are fantastic.
For sure. I'm in the same boat where I have not been to the Al Safwa in Qatar. I've only been through Qatar airport once, and we were running through the airport because we had a 30-minute connection. But that Hong Kong airport, I wish I had not done lounge hopping in that airport, and we should have just set up residency in that lounge. It was amazing for the first 30 minutes. We got to go there and then we had to go to our plane.
I will say this. Hong Kong airport is literally a lounge haven. It is like so many. You can't avoid it because in order to get to that lounge you're talking about at gate 65, you literally walk for 20 minutes passing a million lounges along the way. You're like, oh, I should stop here.
But you shouldn't. You should just go straight to the Cathay first lounge if you have access to it.
Yes,
so what are some of the other perks that you would get with Platinum Pro or Executive Platinum?
One of them that is probably not understood much is something that people overlook. They hear it and they overlook it. And it's something called same day change. Same day change, what that allows you to do is make a change within 24 hours. I'm going to give you guys a secret of folks who've been doing this for a long, long time. If you ever look when you're booking a ticket, let's say you know you have same day change. Let's say you know you have same day change and you really don't care what time you fly. And it doesn't matter where I sit. I don't mind as long as I get a good, decent seat. Okay. If you're like that person, this is something you can do with your status. You could take a look at the flights and say, hey, sometimes there's a big disparity between the first flight out versus the third or fourth flight out. Like sometimes you may see a $250 ticket and you may see a $500 ticket for basically the same destination, but just leaving several hours later. So here's what some people do. They will choose the lowest cost ticket so they can lock that in. And then when they're at that 24-hour mark of the flight and they're ready to check in, they can make a same day change and they can either get a confirmed ticket on another flight for free. And it could even be the flight that they wanted to take, but it was too expensive. So they'll make a change at the 24-hour mark for that. And they'll save themselves right there $200-$300 just by doing that. Now, will you get the exact seat you were in? No. Will you be eligible for main cabin extra seat? Yes, you still will, as long as it's available. So if there's seats on available, you could be able to choose that, but it depends what's ever available at the 24-hour mark. But here's another thing. Those exit row seats are usually reserved for elites. So they'll usually, American's pretty good about saving some of those seats for folks at the 24-hour mark. I'm usually pretty sure at the 24-hour mark, even if you switched it and got a confirmed seat on another flight, you would still get a main cabin next.
Sounds good. I've never taken advantage of that, surprisingly, because I usually just say, here's the flight that I want. But I have Executive Platinum, so that is something that I should look into in the future. How does somebody get to Executive Platinum? And if somebody's already there because they did the status match promo or something, what are your best ideas for renewing status in 2024? Because there are some things that have worked in the past that maybe don't work so well anymore.
Yeah. So I will say, let's go over the most common obvious ones, first of all. The first one is flying. You could actually earn it through flying. However, it has been seriously pulled back on in terms of how you earn points. You know, it used to be, American started in 1981 as a very first loyalty program. And the reason we call it American miles, or even call all the points miles, is because if you flew 1 mile, you would get 1 mile. That's how it used to work. And today they've changed most of that into now, if you spend a dollar, you earn a mile, or you earn a point now. So they've kind of changed the vernacular. So it doesn't really matter how much or how little you fly with American nowadays. They're looking at how much you spent with them. So if you spend a lot between LA and Phoenix, or Vegas and LA, and you spend a lot of money on that, you're technically more valuable to them because you spend more money than if you flew LAX to Miami nowadays. Here's the other thing too. A lot of people don't realize this part. Whenever you book a cash ticket, you actually earn points two times, because you earn it on the credit card you spend on, and then you actually earn it for the person that's flying. And so the loyalty point is going to be earned from the credit card. If you had an American Airlines credit card, you can earn 1 mile or 1 point for every dollar you spend on that credit card. And then when you actually fly, depending on what level of status you have, like you can earn, if you have no status, you're going to earn 5 miles. If you have gold, you earn 7. If you have platinum, you earn 8 points, then 9 for Platinum Pro and 11 for Executive Platinum. So actually, as you get higher up the status and you fly, it's actually easier to re-qualify because you're earning more points now because of the bonuses that you're getting. So that's one way to do it. And you can also do it when you fly a partner. So if you flew Alaska or Iberia or British Airways, any one of those three airlines, they look at how much you spend and they're going to give you that as well. Which actually leads me to the whole One World Alliance. All the rest of the airlines that are not American Airlines or Iberia or British Airways or Alaska, the way that they calculate it is they go based on the distance you flew, because American doesn't know how much Qantas is going to charge their customers to get on an American airline flight. So because of that, and those things are changing all the time, they just decided to go with one kind of rate, which is, let's take a look at the distance you fly and what fare class. Did you buy economy, business, or first? And then which airline it was. And so, for example, if you were going to fly Cathay Pacific, let's say, for example, and you were flying in business class, you would get the distance and another 25%. If you flew first class, you would get the distance and another 50%. So let me give you an example. Let's say you flew 10,000 miles and you found a really good discounted business class or very good discounted first class ticket on Cathay. Let's just say, I'm throwing a round number. I know it's not this, but let's just say it's $1,000. If you got it for $1,000, you would get your 10,000 miles plus 50%. So that would be 15,000 miles of loyalty points for the $1,000 you bought the ticket for. So you can actually earn 15,000 points instead of earning what you normally would earn, which would be 11,000 points using a revenue base. So the distance for some airlines, and this applies also to United and some of the other partners, they'll just use a distance and a percentage and they'll give you a bonus if you're flying in premium cabin. So that's another little trick that you can do too if you want to earn more loyalty points actually flying.
Yeah, if you can find some of those lower cash deals, if you're like, I don't want to mess with points and miles, I don't want to get a whole bunch of credit cards, like, what do I do? There are lots of services, like Ashley Gets Around is one that comes to mind, where she specializes in just mistake fares basically for business and first class. And she's flying all over the world into Indonesia, into England, back over to Hong Kong, over to Africa, South America. And that's how she's renewing her loyalty status a lot, is she's just flying very long flights, paying, just straight up paying for a first class or business class, but it's like a mistake fare where normally it would be a $10,000 flight, but maybe she found it round trip for $2,000 or something like that. So that's a whole nother strategy that you can do for earning loyalty points.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Here's the thing. There's actually two credit cards that American Airlines has. They actually have two banks. A lot of people know about Citi, but many people forget that they also have a relationship with Barclays Bank. And for some of those who may not be familiar, why does an airline have two banks? U.S. Airways used to one of the companies that American used to be, they got bought by US Airways and they kept the name American, but US Airways had a relationship with Barclays and Citi had a relationship with American. So they've kept both relationships. Barclays has a card that's very loan, little talk about, but they have a blue or red. A lot of people know the red. That's the one where you buy a piece of a pack of gum and you get all the miles. But they have one elevated higher than that. It's called the silver card. It's $195 annual fee. But that card says if you spend $20,000 on that card, you're going to earn 5,000 loyalty points. Once you spend $40,000 on that card, you're going to earn another 5,000. And once you spend another 50,000 points, you're going to earn another 5,000 loyalty points. So you can actually earn up to 15,000 loyalty points for spending 50,000 on that Barclays silver card. So just by spend alone, that could be one way. And then also you look at the Citi credit card. The Citi credit card kind of takes a different approach. That one doesn't matter how much you spend. They're just saying, are you earning loyalty points in general? So whether you're earning from other partners or from flying, once you reach the 50,000 level point, you're going to earn 10,000 loyalty points. And you'll earn another 10,000 when you reach 90,000. So I've been able to reach at least 90,000 each year now with that new card and the revamp. And the executive card from Citi, that second card, also gives you lounge access for you and your family. So I love it. It's a great card.
So for everybody who is trying to like do the math as they're working out of the gym or driving in their car, how much do you need to spend realistically? If you're like, I'm just going to buy my way to status, I have pretty high personal spend or business expenses or something, I can buy my way to American Airlines executive platinum status.
If you do it the credit card route, that's a lot of money. I would say you're probably spending more money than you probably should. There's an opportunity cost because if you're spending all on the American Airlines card, you're probably not earning Amex points. You're not earning Blue Bank points. You're not earning all these other points that you could be earning. So I don't know if that's the best way to do it on the credit card. Although I think the credit card could be supplement. My current favorite way is actually the hotel partner version is if you give up hotel status for airline status, then actually booking through Advantage Hotels, in my opinion right now, is one of the best ways. Like, I don't know if you know, but every time I'm in Vegas, I've been staying at that Virgin Hotel. Virgin Hotel for a long time, since the Rocket Mile days, has been a pretty good earner if I'm staying in Las Vegas. So American has contracted a third-party online travel agency to be able to earn loyalty points for staying at their kind of OTA, their online travel agency hotels. So these are hotels from all different brands, whether it be Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, and actually Virgin's actually a Curio Hilton hotel. Now here's the thing, you won't get the perks if you have status there when you stay there, although you can always reach out to the hotel and see if they can add in your Hilton Honors number and things like that. But generally speaking, it gives a very good multiplier. I've gotten anywhere between 10, 15, 20x on my hotel stays that apply toward loyalty points. So many of us nowadays, if you're looking to earn a status and that's important to you, more important than the hotel status, then that's something you can decide to do as well.
How do you get 15 or 20x? Does it depend on the hotel that you're booking, where it'll say, book with Virgin Hotels, you'll get 15x. If you stay across the street at MGM, you'll only get 10x. Is that how it works in the portal?
It's not always like if I stayed Virgin, I'm always getting the same X. Their revenue department can go in and determine how much they want to give as incentive for them to draw people in. So the company Advantage Hotels, which is the website, AA Advantage Hotels, and you can be able to see all the revenue, the amount of spend. Now there's a caveat. There's two things you need to have in order to get the elevated bonus of this and get more. Number one, you need to be a member and have elite status, gold status already, at least minimum gold status. And then number two, you need to have one of their credit cards. They had a program before where they didn't require all those things. And I guess they wanted to reward folks who actually were already members or at least have the credit card. So it was smart of their part, but they did put a little barrier. Now, getting the credit card is not it, but getting the status may be something that your listeners may say, I don't have AA status. Like I said a little bit earlier in the podcast, you can actually call up AA and request in their instant status pass, gold pass. And for $200, if they offer it to you, for $200, you can pay for it. You can have gold status for a minimum 4 months. And if you earn enough points to maintain that, they push you another 4 months. And you earn a little bit more points, they keep on pushing you every 4 months. And so that gets you in the game and you can be able to earn status that way just by buying it initially.
So if somebody's going through the AA hotel portal and they're earning at minimum 10x, because 10x is the minimum, right? You'll earn at least 10 points per dollar
I would say that I wouldn't give up my hotel status if I wasn't earning at least 10x or more. Yeah, for sure.
So for people who are like, okay, I like to stay mostly boutique hotels anyway, or I just like to find whatever is the best hotel deal. I'm not really loyal to anything. I like going out for breakfast on my own anyway. For people who are kind of hotel agnostic and they're like, cool, I can earn at least 10x. How much are they realistically spending? Is this, you're probably spending at least $20,000 or like at least $10,000 per year on hotels to maintain executive platinum?
But I would say this, if you are looking at traveling out of the country into, let's say, third world countries or areas where the hotel prices are really low, they have some really good incentive. I've been able to book hotel rooms for and earn 30x, sometimes even 40x. And I've been able to earn gold status, just earning 40,000 points, sometimes for as little as less than $600-$700. It's possible to get to executive platinum for, and let's just say, you can get there for as little and starting as $3,000.
Is that for, if it's like a third world country hotel, you're like calling up the general manager and being like, I will just pay you X thousand dollars through the portal. I'm not going to show up, but I need somebody to click buttons that make it look like I showed up, and like negotiating some kind of virtual mattress run? Or most people are not going to be going into pick a third world country.
Right, right. I mean, you don't need to pick up the phone to call anybody, but there's always a risk of it showing as a no-show. But if you do it, you got to test it out, because remember, they're all run by individual properties. If they decide to mark you as a no-show, they no-show. But usually your investment isn't that high anyway. It's a small, you can always do a test run with the hotel and see how it works out.
Yeah. Because if you just test out, what is it, $30 a night at a lot of these hotels, like maybe you get 10X, maybe you get 15, maybe you get 20X on like $30. And if not,
right,
you lost $30 in the name of science. I tell people all the time that if you really do want to get these types of like gold mines from your couch, you have to be willing to constantly lose small amounts of money, and then suddenly you'll strike gold somewhere, and then you can get American Airlines executive platinum status for $3,000. Sometimes maybe it'll take you 4, maybe 5, maybe 6, but these are always changing also, because if we named certain hotels here, everybody's going to run to that hotel. That hotel's going to catch on. It's not going to work anymore. But if you just go into some far-flung countries, start testing things out. I found it works pretty well if you do prepaid as well, because then they already have your money. At that point, it's not one of those where you show up to the hotel, here's the balance, give your credit card. Like, they're paid already. Might as well just prepay $30, cross your fingers, see what happens.
Yeah, prepaid is probably ideal, because you've already made that payment rather than you haven't and you have to show up and then they cancel it. There's a strong belief that doing a non-refundable deposit is usually better.
Yeah, for sure. Any other strategies other than the American Airlines hotel portal?
Yeah, there's one that I think people sleep on that is so easy. And I know you've talked about it with other apps, but there's a company out there called Rewards Network. They work with Alaska, Southwest, American, even T-Mobile. And what they do is they actually have a network of restaurants around the country that you could, if you don't really care where you eat, because sometimes you just go, I just want to eat somewhere. And wouldn't it be nice if I earned some loyalty points too? This is a way that you can be able to easily earn 3x more points in addition to your credit card. So all you have to do is register your credit card. And if it's your AA credit card, actually, it doesn't even have to be your AA credit card. It could be your Blue Band credit. It could be any card you use for dining. And then you can list actually more than one. So if you have multiple ones, or you need to make a sign-up bonus or welcome bonus, it's great for that. And you'll earn it you'll earn your credit card points. And once you register, you walk into those restaurants that are part of the AA Advantage dining program, you'll earn extra points. I've sometimes gotten the points notification as soon as I've left the restaurant, or sometimes I'm even in the restaurant, I will get it. As soon as they swipe it, they're on their system. And if any of you are actually restaurants owners and listening to this right now, I encourage you to reach out to the Rewards Network, because they can actually add you as a restaurant on the program. It'd be great for us as a consumer, because there's more choices for us out there. And the great thing is the program doesn't, as a marketing expense, they'd only charge you when you only pay them whenever you have one of their customers come in. So you don't need to pay anything upfront. I think it's a fantastic program for small business owners to get involved in.
Yeah, for sure. I also encourage people, if you have a favorite restaurant and a favorite airline and you know the owner, where you're like that much of a regular, just ask the owner, hey, I come to your restaurant a lot. Could you partner with American Airlines? I will order even more waffles from you if you could just be over here on this network so that I get my airlines miles every time we do the regular Sunday brunch with the family. You can ask your favorite restaurant owners that.
Here's a little another incentive to tell the owners of the restaurant as well. Let them know. Ask them, how many people come here and pay with their credit cards, like a rewards credit card? And they'll say, oh, a ton. Do you know that those people are trying to earn points? If they knew that they came to eat at your restaurant and they would earn double the number of points, they would come to your restaurant probably twice as often. That's the real reason, that they're trying to drive in more business and more repeat business. If you get on that network, there's going to be more people who are aware. You should tell people about it. I think most restaurant owners are not aware of number of people who are trying to earn rewards.
If anyone listening to this, you own a restaurant, your family members own a restaurant, your friends are restaurant owners, tell them to get on these networks, especially the ones like this one where they don't have to pay like some monthly subscription fee to be featured on there. It's just probably a percentage of when people actually go in and dine there.
And I have a rewards network person that I work with that actually adds on. So if anybody wants to reach out to me to get added on as a restaurant, let me know. I can get you connected with the right people. For the restaurant owner, the ones who want to open, who wants to be listed as a restaurant owner. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, this isn't one of those things where people just make up that they own a restaurant and they get perks like that. Because people are always looking for that, where they're like, I don't actually have a restaurant. Can I claim I have a restaurant? I don't have a real business. Can I claim I do for business cards? It's not like that.
No, the people who actually have a real restaurant, hopefully we want to go out and eat there one day.
For sure. All right. So we talked about the hotel portal, which sounds like it's going to be a big thing for 2024. I've heard a lot of people are booking more through that because, I mean, if you're getting more value out of airline status than hotel status, or you're very hotel agnostic because you don't stay nearly enough to get Hyatt Globalist or Marriott Titanium or any of that, could be a good way to go, especially if you travel for work where you have a dedicated airline, but you don't necessarily have a dedicated hotel chain because you're just being sent everywhere for work. The portal is a great way to do that if you're able to. We talked about dining portals. Anything else for 2024 strategies you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that AA is making a wave of, and it's disrupting, it truly is disrupting the industry right now, is that historically, if you book your hotels through an online travel agency, like we just mentioned right now, you usually don't get any of your elite perks when you stay at a hotel. However, when you book through an online travel agency, like an Expedia, like Travelocity, Hotwire, Booking, any of those online travel agencies, when you book through them, you usually still get all the perks as an elite member, because all you have to do is add your elite membership. So whether you're booking Delta, United, American, it's all the same. And so there's really not a huge amount of disadvantage to booking through online travel agency. American wants to change all that. They want to change that as May 1st. So if you're listening to this, and this is as of May 1st of 2024, they want you to book directly with them. And they want to give an incentive. They're saying, look, if you book through us directly instead of the online travel agencies, then you'll get all the perks and benefits. Like, for example, if you book basic economy right now, you would still earn some miles on American. But if you book it on the online travel agency after May 1st, you're not going to earn your miles anymore. You're not going to have the benefit of having a canceled flight be good for 1 year. You may only get it for 6 months now, things like that. So they're going to start taking away some of the perks if you don't book directly. Now, there are a few exceptions. And one of them is if you sign up for the business program, they'll still give you the perks. If you're a member of a business program, or if you work for a corporate and you're in that business program, they still will give that to you. The other example too, is if you are actually one of the dedicated preferred travel agencies. So if you use a travel agency that's been designated, that generates enough business to them, then American will honor that as well if you go through their preferred travel agency. So there are some changes. And so I would say moving in 2024, be aware, you probably should consider booking directly or book through a preferred online travel agency with them. There is one thing I want to make sure, because I just brought it up right now about those flight credits. Well, a lot of people don't know when you're booking cash ticket with American. And I'm talking about cash tickets specifically, not a points ticket. But when you book a cash ticket on basic economy, American will not give you any credit back when you book a basic economy and you cancel. But if you book an economy and you cancel, you will get what they call a flight credit. And on a flight credit, you actually have 1 year from the time of the purchase, not the time of flying, but from the time purchase, to go back and use that particular ticket. If you don't use it in time, that will expire as well. So that's something to be aware of, because I think that's really important for a lot of people when they're buying a ticket and they want to cancel. And if you cancel, you can still get the credit and you still have what usually 1 year, but it has to be in your name. So that means the person that canceled and the passenger on that ticket, they need to go and fly it. They also have something else called a trip credit. And the trip credit says, like, let's say you canceled your flight and you got that flight credit. Let's say it was a $1,000 ticket and used 500 of it. 500, you took it and you were still leftover. When you get that leftover ticket, they turn it into a trip credit. And when they turn that into trip credit, that's a much better type of credit, because that one, you can use it for other passengers, not just yourself. So if you want to use it for your girlfriend, boyfriend, mom, dad, spouse, children, you absolutely can. And then they reset the date now from the time that you reset, got that new credit for another year. So be aware that there's two kinds of credit, the flight credit and the trip credit. And that's a really big distinction in 2024.
Something that just came to mind when you were talking about booking for someone else. When you're booking through the American Airlines hotel portal, does it have to be in your name for you to get the points? Can you book your mom a hotel somewhere that she's actually staying through the portal if you're paying for it and you get the points for it?
That's a great question. I believe the terms and conditions say that the person that's getting the points needs to be the primary on it. Otherwise, I would be doing this all day. I would be booking for people left and right. So I would really seriously, but I believe there's actually a term that says that you need to be the primary on the name of that hotel. I don't believe you can change it. And if they do, I'm not sure you're going to get points on it. But like in all things, everyone should test it, because there's always the verbiage that marketing says, and then there's IT. Here's the other thing that I think a lot of people don't understand too. Marketing and IT are two different departments. IT will say, okay, here's the thing that we need to do to run the site. And marketing will come up with all these great ideas, and sometimes they don't tell IT. And maybe there's the lawyers that come in and say, we should prevent this. But nobody takes the time to go and really check it out and change it until someone actually tries to push the limits of it. So it's one of those things sometimes too, that when you really look at it, have they done anything to prevent it from happening? And so during that time where they don't, that may be an opportunity for you to actually earn some extra points. I think there's a verbiage there, but I haven't decided to test that part out, but love to hear if any of your folks have been able to test that out.
Sounds good. Well, these have been fantastic gems today for how to renew American Airlines status. Where would you recommend that listeners go for even more points and miles tips, either related to American Airlines or something completely different?
One of the things, I think there's a lot of folks out there that are doing a great job. There's one particular couple that met, they've been doing this probably close to 6 years. They opened an account. They've been flying in really nice premium cabins. So I know that your audience likes that stuff. This couple is unique, because usually when there's a player one and player two, it's usually player one is the one who's fanatic about the points and miles. And the other one is like, okay, which credit card do you want me to sign up for? And what phone call do you want me to make to which bank to cancel which card? But not really cancel. And so there's usually one who's a hesitant P2, but not in this case. In this case, one was like an AV fanatic and loved planes, and the other one was really in points and miles. And these two got together, and they're called the Miles Couple. They're fantastic, Mila and Brighton, and they are a young couple. They're both in DC, and I think they're really one of the up and coming rising stars right now on points and miles.
Perfect. And where can people find you on the internet if they have more questions about American Airlines or anything else?
Yeah, my name is Ben from Ben's Big Deals. You can find me on my website, Ben's Big Deal. I also have an Instagram account as well, TikTok, a Facebook group. I think I'm opening a school group very, very soon as well for that community. So really excited to help teach people about how to be able to use their points and miles for an airline. So I do every month, I'll switch off between an airline course. The next month, I'll do a hotel masterclass. And then every week, I run a mentorship for my intermediate advanced folks who want to learn about, like last week, we had Air France and Qantas and the Qatar program. Next week, we'll talk about stopover programs. So we'll kind of dive in deep for some of the more intermediate folks sometimes. So you can always find me on Ben's Big Deals.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Ben, so much for joining us onto the show again. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, and we'll see you around.
Yes, and I'll see you at the Travel Summit.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels. Take care.